news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I can't believe I have to say these words, but the Trump White House on Monday told administration leaders not to cooperate with President-elect Joe Biden's transition team. Agencies across the federal government had prepared briefing books and allocated office space for members of Biden's transition team, but officials were directed to hold off on giving them access because Trump's campaign is pursuing legal challenges to the results in a few battleground states, and Trump has not conceded. A senior administration official telling the Washington Post, quote, "We have been told, ignore the media. Wait for it to be official from the government." The head of the General Services Administration, Trump appointee Emily Murphy, has declined to sign the papers releasing Biden's $6.3 million share of transition resources. Meanwhile, 30 Republican former members of Congress called on Trump to recognize Joe Biden as the winner, saying that Trump's allegations of fraud, quote, "undermine the legitimacy of the election and are unacceptable." The Biden team, thankfully, is considering legal action, and all I can ask is, what are they waiting for? Now, to take us further down the rabbit hole, Attorney General William Barr on Monday authorized federal prosecutors to investigate specific allegations of voter fraud before the presidential election results are certified. Eyebrows were raised earlier in the day when Barr was spotted entering Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's office. After Barr departed, McConnell took to the Senate floor to back Trump's refusal to recognize Biden's victory. "Let's not have any lectures about how the president should immediately cheerfully accept preliminary election results from the same characters who just spent 4 years refusing to accept the validity of the last election." What? Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Biden won fair and square, and that Trump's refusal to concede was, quote, "extremely dangerous, extremely poisonous to our democracy." A closer reading of Barr's memo shows that he's sounding a kind of a cautious note. He wrote, "Specious, speculative, fanciful, or far-fetched claims should not be a basis for initiating federal inquiries." Well, that totally describes these bogus lawsuits that Trump is bringing. But the move is troubling a lot of Justice Department veterans, as it reversed long-standing policy against using law enforcement to affect election outcomes. The official who oversaw voting fraud investigations in the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section, career prosecutor Richard Pilger, resigned just a few hours after Barr's announcement, citing the policy's ramifications. Well, Tuesday marks 1 week since Election Day, and as scheduled, the Supreme Court hears the Trump administration's challenge to what's left of the Affordable Care Act. Perhaps the most consequential case of the term, it's brought by a coalition of Republican-led states and the Trump administration, who are arguing that the law's individual mandate is unconstitutional, well, they already overturned that, and say that the law must fall. Reality check for a second here. We're in the midst of a global pandemic, and reports say that we are now, in the United States, experiencing the worst of the pandemic thus far. Wiping away Obamacare would have a huge impact on the nation's healthcare system and the lives of tens of millions of Americans. That includes roughly 20 million people who've gained coverage on the exchanges and through the expansion of Medicaid to low-income adults, as well as nearly 54 million people with pre-existing conditions. Here's some good news for a change. The drug maker Pfizer said early data from its human coronavirus vaccine trial shows that it's more than 90% effective. That's a much better efficacy than expected, so keep your fingers crossed. The Food and Drug Administration on Monday also granted emergency use authorization for Eli Lilly's experimental antibody drug for some COVID-19 patients. It's the first antibody drug to receive such approval. Doctors will be allowed to administer it to patients who are not hospitalized but who face a risk of serious illness due to their age or other conditions. Trial data showed that a one-time infusion of the drug reduced the need for hospitalization or emergency room visits for those high-risk patients. Donald Trump received a similar treatment when he was diagnosed with COVID-19 in early October. Dr. Anthony Fauci said the treatment likely contributed to Trump's recovery. It should be noted that Trump's acolyte, Chris Christie, was also given the drug, and it's likely that Ben Carson is getting it now. You and I, however, aren't quite so lucky. And if they succeed in killing what's left of the Affordable Care Act, even once it is available, we won't be able to afford it. So on Monday, Donald Trump fired Defense Secretary Mark Esper by tweet in what could be the start of a purge by the lame duck of those who don't adequately support him. And finally, here in South Florida, we are mopping up after Tropical Storm Eta flooded some areas with a downpour that swamped entire neighborhoods. Eta was the 28th named storm in a very busy hurricane season and the first to make landfall in Florida this year. Beware. Theta formed late Monday night over the Northeast Atlantic, becoming the 29th named storm of this season, which officially ends on November 30th. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.